You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
You've heard the saying, if you want to be successful, surround yourself with successful people. If you want to love the way that God loves, hang out with God more. Spend time with Him in prayer, in His Word. There's no recipe, there's no specific instructions on how to do this beyond that. That's as good as Him speaking to you over a cup of coffee. Just sharing His heart, His way, His love, His wisdom.
Hi, this episode is from our prayer and worship nights. We gather every Sunday night at 5 p.m. for a deeper and intense style service. Each Sunday night features a new worship team and a speaker from various ministries here at Parkway. The service ends with a time of intentional prayer as we respond to God's word, pray for our community, and pray for one another. If you miss a service, you can catch up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, or online at parkwaycc.com/sermons.
I don't know if you guys have been away from church for a while. I was away for 9 months at a different job, and I miss hearing the voices of the church, of the saints singing together. If you haven't missed it and take it for granted, my gosh, it is a beautiful thing. I'm going to invite Robin up. Robin Elam. Some of you guys might know her. She works in the office sometimes. Anyways, Robin's going to be speaking tonight, and I thought I'd pray before she has the chance. So, Father God, I thank you for Robin. I thank you that you've given her words to speak tonight, and I pray that your word would just bring life into our lives, Lord. God, your word is living and active, and God, I pray that we would just activate your word in our lives, God, that it would speak and that it would go into application, and we would leave this place closer to you than when we walked in. In your name. Amen.
Good evening. Gosh, it's just comforting to know that this is family, because I feel like I'm up here giving a book report. Oh, thank you. So this is an interesting culture that we're living in these days. Have you noticed? There are words that people love to use over and over and over. We overuse them. Can anybody just shout them out, whatever you think? Words that we overuse in our culture.
Love. The word love.
Yeah, yeah.
It means like so many things.
It does. What else? Awesome. You know, that one drives me nuts. How about like, you know, kids like to, you know, they like to use the word like, you know, literally. They literally like to use the word. But love, that's a really good one, because that's what we're going to be talking about, because that's what's on the Father's heart. So, anybody heard of Bob Jones? I know. Bob Jones was a prophet, a real one, a real legitimate prophet. And he came to Grants Pass about 30 years ago, and he spoke at our little church down the highway there called Cornerstone, that's no longer there. But Bob had after death experience. And the Lord took him to heaven, and he was in this big long line of people. He said there was a line over there that was just went for miles. And the line that he was in wasn't all that long. And each one that went before him, Jesus would ask them, did you learn to love? And they'd say, oh, yes, Lord. And he'd kiss them and let them in. But when it came Bob's turn, he thought, oh, I'm all puckered up. I'm ready to go. I got this. And Jesus held his hand up to him, and he said, no, it's not your time yet. You were taken too soon. But I have a job for you to do when you go back, and I want you to teach the leaders, the pastors, love, so that they can teach it to the church. About a year or so ago, while at Women's Bible Study, thanks, Donnie, they gave us an assignment to listen to this worship song. And while we were listening, we were supposed to ask the Lord a question and then listen for the answer. And so I'm listening to the song, and the word love kept coming to my mind, and I said, well, love, or Lord, am I loving well? Am I loving? And showed me this picture in my mind of a well, but it was a love well. Get it? Get it? I thought that was so cool. So I shared it with the girls, and they thought it was cool, too. But this was my beginning of a journey to learn what God says about love, how important it is to him. The dictionary, dictionary.com, defines love as an intense feeling of deep affection, a feeling of deep romantic or sexual attachment to someone, affectionate greetings conveyed to someone on one's behalf, give her my love, a formula for ending an affectionate letter, lots of love, Judy, a great interest and pleasure in something, like his love for football or her love for music, or a person or thing that one loves, she was the love of his life. What the Bible says about love is not what you probably think. I have about 11 scriptures here that I'm going to whip through because we're going to run short on time, but listen to the words and let them sink in. In Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 8, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Deuteronomy 11:1, "Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commandments." That word in Hebrew for love is ahib, and it means have affection for. So have affection for the Lord your God. Psalm 18:1 out of the Passion Translation says, "Lord, I passionately love you, and I'm bonded to you. I want to embrace you." The word for love there is racham. It's a homonym for womb, and it conveys the thought of mercy, pity, compassion, and a tender love like that of a mother for the child inside her womb. God has a womb love for us. Although righteous anger is part of God's character, his delight is in showing tender love and mercy, which always triumphs over judgment. In Micah 7:8 in the Passion Translation, that's my favorite Bible, it says, "Listen, O Adam's offspring, Yahweh has made it plain to you what is best. He has shown you what he is really longing for from you, only to promote justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." Song of Songs, chapter 2:10. "My beloved spoke and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me." That word for beloved, or the loved part of that, is rea. That's a female association meaning brother or sister, beautiful one, companion, lover, neighbor. It's a term of affection. 1 John 4, 11 through 12 in the NIV says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." The Passion Translation in that same scripture says, "Delightfully loved ones, if he loved us with such tremendous love, then loving one another should be our way of life." John 13, 34 through 35, you didn't know God had so much to say about it, did you? "And so I'm giving a new commandment." This is Jesus. "I'm giving a new commandment to you now. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. Your strong love for each other will prove to the world that you are my disciples." That word in Hebrew is agape. It's affection. It's benevolence. They call it a charity fest. Ponder that. As much as Jesus loved us is how we are to love one another. That's pretty deep. How did he love us? so many ways. Leviticus 19:18. You must not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the children of your people, but you must love your neighbor as yourself. The word for love there in the Hebrew is ahib, to have affection for, closeness, goodwill, endearment. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they all have the same message, love one another as you love yourself. That Greek word is agape, affection, charity, the love feast again, benevolence, the quality of being well-meaning, kindness. Love one another, be kind to one another, be generous with one another. Your neighbor is not just the people who you like or who you think you, who. Book reports, your neighbor is not just the people who are like you or who think like you, but those who are unlike you. All we seem to know as a society anymore is criticism. We don't like someone's tattoos, their dreadlocks, their blue or pink hair. They smoke, they vape, they drink. All we know is to react from our own pain and our own rejection, the abuse that we've endured in our life somewhere, and oppression. Romans 13:9 says, if you love your neighbor as much as you love yourself, you will not want to harm or cheat them or kill them or steal from them. And you won't sin with his wife and won't want what is his or do anything else that the Ten Commandments say is wrong. All 10 are wrapped up in this one, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. The Greek word for that word love is agapeo. It's a social love, with a moral sense. 1 John 4:7-8, those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another, because God is love. Everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of him. The one who doesn't love has yet to know God, for God is love. In the Aramaic, it says, God continually exists being love. Genesis 1:26, in the beginning, we were created in their image. God said it was good. So man and woman were created in the image of the triune God, and it was good. The Passion Translation says, God shaped us with his image inside of us. In his own beautiful image, he created his masterpiece. Verse 28 says, and God blessed them in his love, saying, reproduce and be fruitful. Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden during the cool of the day. They knew him. They loved him. They fellowshipped with him. They knew him intimately. That word in Hebrew is yada. It's an intimate knowledge of another, not just a physical term where Adam yada Eve. It was deeper than that. It has multiple meanings, but it all boils down to what binds us together, what connects us. You've heard the saying, if you want to be successful, surround yourself with successful people. If you want to love the way that God loves, hang out with God more. Spend time with him in prayer, in his word. There's no recipe, there's no specific instructions on how to do this beyond that. That's as good as him speaking to you over a cup of coffee. Just sharing his heart, his way, his love, his wisdom. Who do we look like? Who do we act like? Our kids are brought up in a culture of superheroes who aren't even real. They act like them, dress like them, live in a fantasy playtime in their realm. But what do we teach them about Jesus? Do we speak of him as though he's real and alive and always with us? Do we teach them all the names that describe his character? Jehovah Jireh, our God who provides. Jehovah Nisi, our banner. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Jehovah Rapha, our healer. El Roy, the God who sees. El Shaddai, oh, now there's a superhero. Americans spend billions of dollars every year on memorabilia for their favorite athletes, musicians, tennis shoes, lunchboxes, trendy fashions. Who do they hope to impress by possessing these things? What are they saying about themselves? Looky me. See, I follow you. I'm cool. I'm rich. I'm important. I matter. Whatever their message, it falls so short of what God truly wants from us. If we are created in God's image and God is love, then his love must run through our veins. I used to say my temper was from the German side of me. If I can own that, why can't I own his genes, his love genes? Why do we struggle to love the way that he loves? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your strength. When Steve and I were about to be married, I was scared. He's my third husband. Okay, disclaimer here. I was afraid I'd fail again. And the Lord told me just ever so sweetly, if you do this, you will have a successful marriage. And he took me to 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 4. And he says, remember, love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envious. Love does not brag. It is not puffed up. It is not rude. It is not self-serving. It is not easily angered or resentful. It is not glad about injustice, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Remember these words, Robin, and you'll have a successful marriage. It'll be 21 years this June. Every day is a choice to be obedient to God's word, to honor my husband, and in doing so, I'm loving him. So in essence, love is compassionate, merciful, and forgiving, and kind. In marriage, it says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives. More than just saying those three little words when you're feeling frisky or when she's made a wonderful dinner, there are so many ways that a woman would love to hear from your sweet lips how you feel love for her. To men, saying I love you is supposed to cover all those things that she wants to hear, but you don't think to say them. I had a word wheel. Did we do the word wheel? You can pass those out if you want. When Steve and I were doing ministry with Keith and Nancy, was that called Marriage Enrichment, Marriage Encounter? Yeah, that one. But we use a word wheel as a tool to help couples learn how to express their feelings, their emotions. Men are terrible at this. I'm just saying. So I made one up for Steve and I, and we tried it for a week. He can't say he loves me. And he tells me this multiple times a day. I'm one of those blessed women. But when I put him to that task, he couldn't do it. It just was unnatural to have to, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, you guys can take one of those if you want and practice at home and just get in touch with your feminine side. The Song of Songs is one of my most favorite books in the Bible. It's an allegory, the way that I learned it, about the king, who is Jesus, and the Shulamite girl, who is us, who become his bride, the church. He's constantly speaking her love language and calling forth the beauty he sees in her, even though she doesn't see it in herself. Marriage is a blueprint, a foreshadowing of Christ's marriage to his bride. That's another topic for another time, but it's still something to ponder. God is love, and apart from him, we cannot love. We aren't able to. It's his gift to us, one that we can never afford to buy on our own. Well, we can buy the cheap knockoff brand, but to get the real thing, there's only one way, only one source. Love your neighbor. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Galatians 5:22, now tell me if you all agree with me on this. It says the fruit of the Spirit. Is that right? Singular fruit is love. But with that love comes the joy and the peace, the patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Deciding who is our neighbor is controversial, but according to what I found in the Aramaic, the word friends refers to family or relatives. The Greek word for neighbor is plaseon, and refers to a countryman or a friend, someone who lives near, a neighbor. You choose who your neighbor is, but treat them with honor and kindness and patience and goodness and joy and peace. It could be someone you see at the grocery store. It could be that annoying person that sits next to you at church every Sunday. It could be someone who comes to you with problems, but they aren't walking with the Lord. They're not in right relationship, but they're our neighbors. How about that chronically unemployed guy next door that always wants to borrow your tools, but he never brings back the weed eater with the twine to replace, or gas in the lawnmower? Can you love him as you love yourself? Paul says in Ephesians 3:18 through 20 that by constantly using our faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. And he will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing in the fullness of God. Isaiah 53:10 says, even though it pleased Yahweh to crush him, Jesus, with grief, he will be restored to favor. After his soul becomes a guilt offering, he will gaze upon his many offspring and prolong his days. And through him, Yahweh's deepest desires will be fully accomplished. The footnote on that in the Passion Translation I found just really compelling. Christ's sacrifice results in the birth of spiritual offspring. He will see his spiritual offspring and enjoy living his life through them. Thus, it could be said, he prolonged his days. The life we live is no longer our own, and in a way, we prolong his days as we walk in close fellowship with Christ. A people in his image is the joy that was set before him. Love is very important to God. The world can never know peace until it first loves. Love God, love Jesus, love your spouse, love your children, love your neighbor. He commanded us to love him first with everything within us, and then he commanded us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves and as Jesus loves us. And most of us don't know how to do that. Why? Because we don't know who we are or whose we are. Many of us loathe ourselves, changing our appearance, our hair color, makeup, beards, facial piercings, tattoos, anything to change who we are. Tattoos used to be something that soldiers did as a rite of passage when they went to war. And then it became a rite of passage for prisoners and gangs. And then it became Then it became the rite of passage in prisons, and now it's an art form that permanently remains all over one's arm, neck, head, chest, belly, back. And women are embracing this. Not judging. But why? What are they trying to communicate to the world around them? Is it a cry for attention? Approval? Or an invitation to be loved? And what's with all the self-mutilation in our young kids? Some say that they can feel when they make those cuts. They want so badly to feel anything that they inflict pain in their own bodies. We all want to feel special and valued. We want to feel appreciated, but our culture has become so unloving and divided that we criticize everything and everyone just at face value. I do it. I think we all do it, if we're honest. How do we change this? How do we separate ourselves from this culture of insisting that our opinion is more valuable than somebody else's? I'm very opinionated. And I struggle to keep my mouth shut. Sometimes my face just gives me away. How do we change this? How do we separate ourselves? No. We lose. We give insincere compliments to fill up space. Oh, I love your outfit. Nice truck. Honey, who does your nails? I love them. We all know what an insincere compliment sounds like. Superficial. It's just right on the surface. Instead of something like, I really appreciate the way you helped that person. Or, you really are a caring friend. Your words have life or death. Speak life infused with love. Get below the surface. Time is short, and the devil, who is definitely not loving, is feeling the pressure and doing all that he and his minions can to keep us from seeking out that deep intimacy with Jesus. That's the only place where we will discover true love, in the secret place of the Most High. That word in Hebrews, Shaddai. Shaddai means nurturer of babies. It means God Almighty. I love that. Like a mother loving her infant and seeing to its every need, our Father in heaven loves us and sees to our every need and desire and dream. And I refer to that as the mother heart of God. We are made in his image, and we are made from love to love. When I was going to nursing school way back in the day, we learned what makes a perfect, complete protein. It's called the lock and key theory. Each enzyme is specifically designed to fit perfectly with a substrate, like a key is designed to fit perfectly with a lock. An example of that would be peanut butter and whole wheat bread makes a perfect protein. Peanut butter and celery does not. We are like that in the sense that Jesus is the key and we are the lock. Only Jesus can unlock our hearts to make us one with him. We can't love without him. We must allow him access to our hearts, often locked by wounds, past hurts, and disappointments, to be healed by his love and become one with him. We are his eyes, ears, hands, voice, feet, mouth, because he is spirit and not flesh. We are the vessels he uses to reach out to the lost, the hurting, the sick, and the wounded, to speak a word of encouragement, to touch the lonely, to look into the eyes of the lost so they know that they are seen, to hug with our arms, to comfort, and to listen. That's a lost art. John 13:36, so I give you a new commandment. A new standard of love for his followers. A new standard of love for us as the true measurement of love as we care for one another. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone, believers and unbelievers, will know that you are my true followers. John 15:9-13 says, I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. And if you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have my Father's commands. For I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. So, this is my commandment, not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Love each other as much as I have loved you. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. We are living In a rapidly changing times, culture has drastically changed from prim and proper to foul language, rudeness, arrogance, disrespect, and in-your-face challenges with differences of opinions. We have more homeless now than at any other time in American history, except maybe during the Great Depression. But the difference being the majority now are in bondage to drugs and alcohol, often resulting in mental illness. There's soon coming a day when the Holy Spirit is going to pour himself out on all flesh. How will we respond? We've seen a couple of samples already in our church when someone came in off the streets under the influence of something, smelling of alcohol or just smelling from lack of good hygiene. We're quick to escort them out of the service. Why? Because they offend our senses? Because they may alter our plans? What about Holy Spirit's plans? These people are seeking us out because they sense something life-changing and that happens in this building. We Christians are sometimes so self-righteous that we struggle to open our hearts and be kind towards these folks, to treat them with respect, to show compassion for their circumstances. How freeing it is to realize that it is not our responsibility to change them. It's our responsibility to be obedient to Christ and love them as he loved us. Being patient, kind, not critical, not demanding our own way, not shoving Bible verses in their face. I have this practice when I need to hear from the Lord. This is how I would use to journal, but I really didn't know what direction to go with this topic tonight. And so I have this practice of putting my laptop on my lap and turning off the lights and closing my eyes, letting my fingers rest on the keys, and I ask the Lord a question, and I just wait. And my fingers begin to dance on the keys. And when they stop moving, I read what I wrote. And this is what the Father wrote through my fingers. He says, until my people learn to love others as I have loved you, they will never be victorious over evil. My love is sweet and pure, tender and merciful. Think of the ways you love your children. You have grace for their mistakes, their rebellion, their defiance, and you rejoice over their accomplishments, taking their first step, saying their first word, bringing you a wilted dandelion or a slimy frog. That's the same kind of love you're to have for each other. In this world that you are living in, there's so little true love. There's very little mercy. People are so quick to criticize and judge. They're quick to look for the flaws in others rather than looking for the gold. Let me renew your eyes so that you may see people as I see them, especially your brothers and sisters in Christ. And remember, all have sinned and fall way short of my glory. Not one person is perfect unless they are in Christ Jesus. Yes, everyone has flaws, but that isn't always sin. People are overly opinionated. How about we just be still and know who is God? Choosing our words very carefully so that we don't speak death over someone I gave life to. Love as I love. How have I loved you? Ponder that. Don't be like the man in the parable where the king forgave him a huge debt, and then that same man turned around and demanded from someone else who owed him a much smaller debt to pay up, putting him in prison where he could never pay the debt in full. People are so easily offended, and they voice it all over social media. I ask, who are you to be so offended by another person's feelings or thoughts, and yet you partake in communion? Go to him and forgive him his debt, and then return. Surrender your hearts to me, and I will teach you how to love and who to love. And when you are in doubt, choose love, patience, kindness, mercy, tenderness, forgiveness, never demanding your own way. Let it start right now in this room and watch it spread like wildfire. God's love is so indescribable, incomprehensible, unimaginable, vast beyond our understanding, like the constellations in the solar systems. I recently read The galaxies are rehearsing for God's glory. Can you imagine that? Trust in his love. Rest in his love. Dip your heart into his love well and drink deeply from his living water. And in the end, what matters most is observing the two greatest commandments, not suggestions, that Jesus gave us. Love God the Father and love our neighbors as Christ loves us. These two summarize all of God's law. Everything we do should be evaluated in the light of those two commandments. Thank you.
Good job, Robin. God, we just thank you for Robin's word. And God, I pray that in a culture, God, that is just so disunified, Lord, and just full of rage and anger, God, I pray that we would be that light, like Matthew says, that we would be a light on a hill, God, that cannot be hidden. And I pray that we would be the love that she talked about tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys are free to go. Thanks for hanging out with us.